The first epistle of Peter, please. The first epistle of Peter and chapter 1. Now, when you're finding a place, it's good to be with you for this month for these Bible studies, and we pray they will be profitable to us all to our building up on our most holy faith. So the Lord bless you indeed, and thank you for the invitation to be with you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye might grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And then over to verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And God will bless to our hearts the reading of his own precious word for his dear name's sake. Amen. And amen. I want that little phrase out of verse 10. The people of God. And I'm going to be dealing with this subject this month. The people of God. And we're going to look at their position in Christ. Then we're going to look at their privileges. Then we're going to look at their pattern. And please don't miss that study, the believer's pattern. And then we're going to look at the believer's prospect. And there are great studies this series, because we can go into their practices and their precepts and their priesthood. But whether or not we will be able to cover that all this month, we'll see how far we can go. But there is one stipulation that I would make just now as we commence these studies, that you keep your Bible open. And that you follow the study with an open Bible. Because as my old pastor used to say, we're going to make the Bible do the work.
Yes,
so we're going to study what God's Word has to say about the people of God. And we are going to commence with the position of the people of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, just for a moment. 2 Corinthians on chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we are looking at verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. And that is our position as the people of God. We are in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So the position of the people of God is that we are in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We are the children of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because we belong to Christ that we have entered into a new relationship with God as a loving Heavenly Father. But we want to look at the basis of our position. And that was why we read from chapter 1 and verse 18. For as the people of God, we know and we are sure that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are redeemed because we are in Christ. And we are redeemed with the precious, precious blood of the Lamb. And thank God, that is the basis of our position as the people of God. We are a redeemed people. Redeemed. How we love to proclaim it. Redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. His child and forever. I am. So that's the basis of our position. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God without spot or blemish. And He went to Calvary's cross. He laid down His life for ransom for you and for me, for the one that knew no sin, and who did no sin, He was made sin for you and me. And please remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that our faith and our hope might be in God. You see, our faith is built on this great truth, that Jesus Christ was foreordained from before the foundation of the world, as the Lamb of God to go to the cross and obtain eternal redemption for us. And it's through faith in that finished work that we have a glorious hope. And because Christ lives, we, the people of God, shall live also. And because we have purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, one of the characteristics of the people of God is this, that we love one another with a pure heart fervently. Yes, we love Him who first loved us and laid down His life a ransom for us all. And beloved, we then ought to love one another. And that's the basis of our position as the children of God. We are redeemed. Redeemed. And it's a wonderful thing to be redeemed and to know it. To know it. But I want you to see just now the beginning of our position as the children of God. Look at verse 23 of chapter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, that liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And the gospel is preached unto us, not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. And this incorruptible seed of the word of God is the means of our regeneration. Amen. It's through belief of the truth that we're saved. You see, it's the Spirit of God who takes the word of truth and applies it to our hearts. And when we believe, we're saved. Born again of the Spirit through the incorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. God's word's an eternal word. And it's through the incorruptible and eternal word of God that we are born again. Didn't the hymn writer get it right when he said, I take him at his word? Indeed. Christ died for sinners, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior. The people of God, their position, and the basis of their position is they're redeemed by precious blood. The beginning of our position was when we were born again through the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, when the Spirit of God applied the Word of God to our hearts and we were born again. Born again. Ye must be born again, or enter heaven never. 'Tis only twice born ones go there, the ransomed and forgiven. You see, it's the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and the truth of God's Word is the instrument of regeneration, and let me add it with emphasis, alone. And there's no other way but this. And the gates of light you would ne'er gain sight if you don't believe the word that God has given to us. It's through the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, the God that cannot lie. His Word is truth. Here we stand, here we rest, so help us God, we can do no other. And it is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. The basis of our position, we are redeemed. The beginning of our position, when we were born again and we became a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. You see, our first birth, we were born in the kingdom of darkness. We were children of disobedience and of wrath. But when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and we were born again of the incorruptible seed of the word, we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, a new creation in Christ Jesus.
And that was the beginning of our position.
As the children or the people of God. I want you to see something else in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, the people of God are a begotten people because we are redeemed by precious blood and we're born again of the Spirit of God through the incorruptible seed of the Word of God coming into our hearts and souls through the convicting power of the Spirit of God when he brought us to see our need of Christ the Savior. But he goes a step further and he saith this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. When we were born again of the Spirit of God through the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, it was to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Oh, friends, we are heirs of God. We are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Christ. And everything that Christ hath belongs to us as the people of God. You see, we're in Christ. I live, saith Paul, yet not I, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we are being kept by him. We are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. You see, not only are we a begotten people, but thank God we are a kept people. We are covered by the power of God. We are a begotten people. We are complete in Christ. We need nothing else. We have everything that we need for time and for eternity in our Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, look again at verse number 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Thank God for that word. It's only for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory. When? At the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something to live for? For Jesus Christ is coming again. And friends, when I look at the international scene, with the dangers of nuclear war on the horizon, and uprisings at home and everywhere else, friend, it tells me that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Does you know? Men are doing that which is right in their own eyes, and they are denying the truths of God's word. You know, in Old Testament times, God had a prophet by the name of Amos. He was a farmer. He was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord called him to go with a message of judgment to the 10 northern tribes to warn them that judgment was coming, that they were to turn from their idolatrous ways. They were to seek the Lord and avoid this judgment. But they didn't listen to the voice of Amos. They didn't hear his preaching. And you know what God sent to them? He sent a famine. But not, friends, a famine of corn and wine, but a famine for the hearing of the word of God. And beloved, in these days in which we live, in our beloved province even, there is a famine for the hearing of the word of God. And where there is no vision, people perish. I tell you, friends, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But thank God, as the people of God, we are a begotten people, we are a kept people, and we are kept by the power of God, and we are kept by the peace of God, and we are kept by the very presence of God. For our blessed Savior says, I will never leave thee, and I will never ever forsake thee. Do you see the basis of our position? Redeemed by precious blood. Do you see the beginning of our position? Born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And that makes our position clear and sure. And the blessedness of our position. We are being kept by the power of God. Kept by his peace. Kept by his presence. Kept, dear friends, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the little epistle of Jude just for a moment. The little epistle of Jude. On Jude, verse 1. The servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified or set apart by God the Father, and preserved, or kept, if you like, in Jesus Christ, and called. Oh, friends, we are preserved in Christ. We are being kept by God the Father in Christ. And oh, the blessedness of our position, and it's the power of God that's keeping us there, not our own strength. Keep on trusting. And beloved, don't be afraid. Don't fret. Don't fear. Christ is near. And he's coming again to receive from this world his own. But I want to go a step further. And I want you to see the beauty of our position as the people of God through faith in Christ. Look at 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 2. Elect. Oh, not a lovely word. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the blood and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. The people of God are an elect people. We are a chosen people. We were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Ah, but there came that glorious moment when we heard the voice of our beloved calling. We were travelling the broad road, but we heard in that lovely voice saying, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the door of salvation. And by faith we entered in. And once we were in, we looked up and we saw elect according to the foreknowledge of God. What a great truth to learn. Chosen in Christ. And being born again of the incorruptible seed, and being redeemed by precious blood, we have been brought into this glorious position that we realize that God hath chosen us in Christ, and that's the beauty of our position. The beauty of Christ rests upon us. And friend, is altogether lovely. You know, one day we shall be like him. You know, I'm not very much like him yet. But when he comes again, what do you see me then? The story is told of the great Baptist preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. He got a book of Andrew Andrew Bonner, the great Scots Presbyterian minister. And it was his book on Leviticus. And Spurgeon wrote to Bonner. And he wrote, "Dear Bonner, would you send me your picture and sign the book for me?" And Bonner responded, and he says, "Dear Spurgeon, applying to your request, but I wish you would have waited a moment or two till we seen Christ, for then I would have been like him." Not lovely? Oh, we're going to be like him. Oh, friends, that's the beauty of our position as the children of God. And I know there's a whole lot of problems about election, but it's good to know that we're elect, no matter what position you hold. But I want you to see something else now. And I want you to come with me to the book of Psalms. And it's Psalm 103. And if you're quick, you will be able to give me the next heading. Psalm 103. And the psalmist saith, beginning in verse number 1, "Bless the Lord." Oh, would to God there was more praise to the Lord. Amen. From hearts redeemed. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his," what's the word? Benefits. There's your next heading. Friends, as the people of God, our position is we are redeemed. And the beginning of our position is we're born again. The blessedness of our position is we are kept by the power of God. The beauty of our position is that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. We believe the incorruptible seed of the Word of God as it is in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come into the benefits of our position as the people of God. Look at some of the benefits. Let's begin with verse 1. Here's the charge. Bless the Lord. Here's the claim. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Here's the constraint. And forget not all his benefits. Now watch. Here's the blessings. Here's the benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, we're forgiven. We're pardoned. You know, that's one of the great blessings of the people of God. Ah, we're pardoned. We know the forgiveness of sins. We're pardoned. But more than that, we're purchased. We're no longer our own. We're purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb. Ah, but we'll go a step further, friend. We're planted by rivers of waters that we might bring forth fruit in season. And we'll go a step further. We're privileged. We're a privileged people. But I'm not going to jump the gun, for I'm going to deal with our privileges as the people of God in the day to come. Ah, but our prospects are ever opening to the Christian's view, and it's growing brighter as the days go by. The world might be getting more wicked and further away from God. Ah, but the believer's prospects, how glorious they are. We're almost home. Lift up your eyes, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now watch this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Now what does that mean? Does that mean he's going to heal all our physical diseases? No, it does not. There are some boys who teach that healing is in the atonement. No, sir, healing is not in the atonement. If healing was in the atonement, nobody would get sick and nobody would die. Yes, But let me tell you, friend, these old bodies of ours, they're dying, and I know it. We've got aches and pains, haven't we? See one or two heads nodding now. We've got aches and pains. You know, we're dying. And one of these days, we will grow older, and eventually death will overcome us. And death will claim us, for it's appointed unto men once to die. But turn with me to Mark's Gospel, and I'll show you this. Because some people seem to miss this. And especially these people who claim that there is healing in the atonement. Well, there's not physical healing in the atonement. There's spiritual healing in the atonement. That's the main thing. You see, these old bodies are subjected to decay and to death. We're going to get new bodies. You got the difference now. Now watch this in Mark's Gospel. And it's Mark's Gospel chapter 4 and verse number 12. And it's the Lord speaking, that seeing they may see, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, if you know your Bible at all, he's quoting there, the Lord Jesus is quoting from Isaiah 6. Turn quickly to Isaiah 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And this is where Isaiah was called to his ministry. And in verse 9, the Lord speaking, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and convert, and be healed. Now do you see what the prophet is saying? And be healed. Well, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 4, the Lord didn't use the word healed. He says their sins should be forgiven them. Friends, that's the most important thing. When the four men brought the paralytic to Christ on his bed, and they let him down to the Savior's feet, what was the first thing the Savior said to them? Son, your sins are forgiven thee. The spiritual came first. Oh, I know he healed them. But you know, there's going to be a great healing in a day to come, greater even than physical healing now. Because I'll tell you something. All the dead bodies of all the people of God that have long since turned to dust, well, God is going to resurrect that sacred dust. He knows where every particle of it lies. And when he shouts from heaven, that shirt will sweep clean all the graves of the righteous dead and will rise, not in the same bodies. Ah, no, friend, in new glorified bodies, like unto his glorious body. Would to God we understood these things. You know, these things are well worth teaching, I think, because some of God's people are misled. And some people, friends, think that all they need to do is command cancer to go in the name of Jesus and it will go. No. Doesn't mean that. I know God can heal. But it's not always his will to heal. Friend, our Lord Jesus Christ said, on one occasion when he was praying to his heavenly Father in John chapter 17, he says, Father, I will that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. And if God wills, or the Lord Jesus Christ wills some dear believer to go to heaven to be with him, will our prayers keep him back? Friend, we should always pray for these things in the will of God. All right. I hope that that is clear enough. Now, beloved, let's go on from there. We can see all these benefits, the blessings of salvation. And the benefits of salvation, there is forgiveness, there's healing, he restores our life from destruction, he crowneth us with loving kindness and tender mercies, he satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Ah, he's the pardoner. He forgiveth. He's the physician who healeth. He's the preserver who redeemeth. He's the perfecter who crowneth. And he's the provider that satisfies our every need. Do you see the benefits? Friend, let's take a little step further now. And let's come to the little epistle of Jude again. Little epistle of Jude, on its verse number 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Here's the basis of our position. We're redeemed. Here's the beginning of our position as the people of God. We are born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Here's the blessedness of our position. We are being kept by the power of God. Here's the beauty of our position. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are God's elect. Here's the benefits of our position in Christ. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And here's the brightness of our position in Christ. We are preserved. And one day we will be presented. Oh, what a wonderful moment that will be. When the Lord Jesus takes us by a nail-pierced hand, and he leads us through the promised land. Oh, that will be glory for me. And he brings us to the Father's throne, and he says, Father, this is David. Father, this is Bert. Father, this is George. Father, these are the children which thou hast given me, and I have kept them in thy name, and I haven't lost one of them. Oh, that will be glory. Huh? Oh, friends, that's eternal security. The eternal security of the believer. Beloved, it is great to know what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now come back with me to 1 Peter again. Now, didn't I tell you you're going to have to work? As the people of God, We are a redeemed people. We are a regenerated people. We are declared righteous in Christ and justified by faith. And as the people of God, we can read our title clear to a mansion in the sky. Isn't that wonderful? But look at 1 Peter in chapter 2 and down to verse number 21. And here we have an example to follow of what I don't want to take this up just now, because we will be dealing with it on another night when we come to deal with our pattern as the people of God. And our pattern, of course, is Christ. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example or a pattern that ye should follow his steps. And please be careful to read your Bible. It doesn't say in his steps. It just says we follow his steps. Who of us, come on now, who of us in this meeting just now can match the Savior step for step and stride for stride? I know I couldn't. Sometimes we slip off the true and righteous path, don't we? And we get into bypath meadows, and he has to come looking for us and bring us back to paths of uprightness, to follow his steps. That's why we need to keep our eyes on him and just follow his steps. And in verse 22 it says this: who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and to the bishop of your souls. You see, as the people of God, we're not only a redeemed people, but thank God, we are a returned people. We have returned unto the shepherd and to the bishop of our souls. Isaiah 53, the great chapter that speaks so much of Christ and his sacrificial sufferings and glory. And this is what we read: all we like sheep have gone astray, but we have returned unto the shepherd and to the bishop of our souls, haven't we? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you see the three R's there? All we like sheep have gone astray in ruin. We have turned every one to his own way. That's rebellion. But listen, friends, and this is lovely. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know what that is? That's redemption. You see, we are redeemed because Jehovah laid on him our iniquities, and he his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For we were a sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and to the bishop of our souls. We are a returned people. Oh, no longer on the broad road, no longer treading down a broad road with our backs to God and at enmity with God. But thank God, through the finished work of Christ, we are now returned unto the shepherd, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for a sheep. Yes, we're returned unto the shepherd. He saves us. He feeds us. He leads us. Ah, but as the bishop, he instructs us and he teaches us. Two different offices now. Don't get them mixed up. As the bishop of our souls, he teaches us his word and teaches us the way in which we should walk and how to walk and for his glory. But look at chapter 3 and verse number 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful and courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You see, dear friends, not only are we a redeemed people and a returned people, but we are a responsible people. We are responsible to our Lord and Master. Why call ye me Lord and do not the things that I say? We are responsible. And let me tell you, at the judgment seat of Christ, we will have to stand up and be counted. We are a responsible people to have unity of mind and compassion for one another, and love the brethren, and be pitiful, and be courteous. That's how we're to live. Responsibly. Toward one another. Not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, and contrariwise, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. And I hope you want to inherit the blessing, because you have walked responsibly and did those things that were pleasing in his sight. I'm almost finished. Look at chapter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth on you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Friend, if you're reproached for your faith in Christ, if you're reproached for your testimony and your stand for Christ, I'll tell you this, happy are you. Happy are you. Friend, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You'll not lose your reward. Yes, Christians are reproached. And we are living in an age when Christians are being reviled and reproached and rejected and despised. Ah, yes, we're following the Master's steps, aren't we? Ah, but when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. Leave it to God. Don't try and justify yourself. If the world reproaches you, take it to the Lord in prayer. Leave it with him. He'll vindicate you. He'll honor you in his time. Aye, and I'll tell you something. When he does it too, he will be glorified. And you will be happy. Ah, but friends, the enemies of the cross will be judged. Look at chapter 5. Verse number 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know the old Negro spiritual, the quickest way up is down. You may try and try to climb up high, but the quickest way up is down. Down at the feet of Jesus. He will exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. If you've got care, hit him with it. I'm speaking reverently now. Cast it on him with all your might and main. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And at the same time, when we're being reproached, when we're being reviled, remain sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, the devil is behind it. And the devil wants to destroy your testimony. You remember whenever Satan in the days of Job came with the angels of God, and God said to him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? Whence cometh thou?" He says, "From walking to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Ah, well, he's going about as a roaring lion. He's walking up and down that there still, and he's seeking to devour the people of God. Be ready. The people of God are a ready people. Friends, they know their adversary, and they know the way of victory. And always be ready to give to anyone that asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, and do it with humility, that Jesus Christ may be glorified and have the preeminence in all things. Let's pray. Lord, bless your word to the hearts of all your dear people here just now. We do thank thee for the people of God. What a privilege people they are. What a privilege to know that it is well with our souls. So we thank thee for this time together. Bless your word and bless your people. For Jesus Christ's sake. And as we separate and make our journey homeward, take us there in safety with the blessing of God. Separate us in your fear and with your blessing. For Christ's sake. Amen.